الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت لضر أصابه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, my young friends and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we know the precise moment of the Day of Judgment undoubtedly remains a mystery. But the signs and the symbols of the Day of Judgment are before us and extremely apparent to us. And there are numerous ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wherein the signs of Qiyamah and the Day of Judgment have been mentioned. The famous hadith quoted by almost all the muhaddithin in their kitab, in their books, is the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, that the latter stages of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one person came which was unknown to the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. He came and said before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asked few questions to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam with regards to deen. What is iman? What is Islam? What is ihsan? And then he poses one question, that mata sa'a. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you tell me about the Day of Judgment? When will this day occur? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this person, mal mas'oolu anha bi'alama min as-sa'il, that the one who is being asked, meaning me, doesn't have more knowledge than the one who is asking. Just as you are not aware of the precise time and day of the last hour, similarly, me, despite being the Prophet of Allah and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I am also not aware of the precise time. So then this person asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا. If you cannot tell me the precise moment and day of the Day of Judgment, can you at least describe the signs and the symbols of the Day of Judgment to me? And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions few things, then that antalid al-amatu rabbataha, that a slave girl will give birth to her mistress. Meaning the people who are young, they will dominate the seniors. Or the other interpretation of this hadith or this sentence is that children will become disobedient and they will start to dominate their parents. And there are other interpretations of this sentence. وَأَن تَرَى الْحُفَاتَ الْعُرَاتَ الْعَالَّةَ رِعَاءَ الشَّاءِ يَتَطَاوَلُونَ فِي الْبُنْيَانِ. You will see those people who are so poor, living in abject poverty, who had no status in the community whatsoever, all of a sudden will become so rich and wealthy that they will start to compete in building high buildings and structures. This is one of the signs of Qiyamah. La taqumu as-sa'a, the Day of Judgment will not occur until zalzala, an earthquake will become common in the world. إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When undeserving individuals of the community will be handed over noble responsibilities and authority, then no day of judgment is very, very close. Similarly, in one another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the narrator of this hadith. He says that before the day of judgment, the condition of the ummah will deteriorate so much that people will be absolutely fed up of their life. And one of the individuals from the ummah will come to a grave, not to pay respect to his late brother, not to show his sympathy for the deceased, but فَيَتَمَرَّغُ. He will lie down on the grave of his late brother, and he will roll over the soil of this grave. This will be in the desperation of the condition and the halat he is going through in his life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَيْسَ بِهِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْبَلَىٰ. Don't assume that this was out of the passion of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he will say to the deceased brother, that يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ مَكَانَ صَاحِبِ هَذَا الْقَبْرِ. That, oh my brother, I wish I was the inhabitant of this grave and you were on the earth. I wish I was the dweller of this grave. I wish I was the inmate of this grave and you were alive in this world. وَلَيْسَ بِهِ الدِّينِ إِلَّا الْبَلَىٰ. This is not out of his passion and desire to see and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his creator. But this will be out of mounting pressure of the material world and material commitments. The halat he will go through, the adversities, the calamities, the difficulties he will go through in his life. Because of that, he will wish that he did not no longer remain in this world and he leaves this world. He will passionately say this to his brother standing by his grave before the day of judgment. But our Sharia tells us, my brothers, the hadith I have quoted in my khutbah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَتَمَنَّيَنَّ أَحَدُكُمُ الْمَوْتِ لِضُرٍّ أَصَابَهُ. That none of you should aspire or desire or wish to leave this world out of a difficulty or a calamity that he faces in this world. Because leaving this world is not the solution. Leaving this world is not the solution. The reason why, my brothers and sisters, I'm mentioning this is because today this condition is increasing day by day. If I mention the statistics to you, you will be shocked to hear it. In 1973, World Health Organization released a statistic saying that only 3% of the people in the world suffer severe depression. In 1978, meaning 5 years later, this percentage risen and jumped to 5%. After a few years, 1981, there was a conference that took place in Chicago on the mental disorders. And the statistics show that within this 3 years of time, 100 million people in the world were suffering severe depression. And a decade later, 1991, this number was multiplied manyfold. And right now, the condition has become such that the statistics show that one in every four individuals go through severe depression. One in every four. And it is very, very common amongst our women folk. And not only non-believers. Non-believers, their only maqsad and objective is this world. They don't have the concept of the hereafter, that after this world, after this life, I will have another life. I will have to go stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the decision will be made for me whether I'm going in Jannah or I'm going in Jahannam. This concept is not there. So it's completely understandable that they go through depression. But unfortunately, the sorry state of the ummah is even the Muslims in large number are suffering from depression and anxiety. The poet says it very, very beautifully in Urdu. Ab to ghabra ke ye kehte hain ki mar jayenge. Mar ke bhi chain na paya to kidhar jayenge. Right now we're depressed. We're in anxiety, difficulty, calamity. We're fed up of our life. And we wish that we'd no longer remain in this world and we leave and we go in our qabr, we go in the hereafter, we go in another life. But are you satisfied with your a'mal and your deeds that if you were to pass away at this precise moment and time, your grave will be from the gardens of paradise? Are you content and satisfied that if you were to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the questions are posed to you by Allah, you will be able to answer these questions positively? Are you content, satisfied? Are you sure that if Allah was to take an account of your life, then your final decision and your final abode will be Jannah? Or is it otherwise? This is not the solution, my brother. Nowadays, people as young as 10 and 11 are going through depression. You will be surprised that many people come for counseling as young as 10 and 11, going through depression. And people who are in their 30s and 40s, you will see many people getting old at a very young age now. Many, many white hair on their body. One person says it in the Arabic language, سَأَلْتُ مِنَ الْأَطِبَّاءِ خَبِيرًا ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ مِمَّ شَيْبِ. He said that once I went to a very expert doctor and I said to him that I'm aging and the hair on my body is getting white. What is the cause and what is the reason behind this? Like how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also asked, the shibta ya Rasulullah. Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're aging, you're getting old, and we see some white hair on your beard. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had 20 hairs at the age of 63. At the age of 63, he only had 20 hairs which were white. Nowadays, many people, they are in their 20s and they have 63 hairs, white hairs. It's the completely opposite. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. The reason why my hair are getting white, it is due to Suratul Hud and the surah similar to Suratul Hud. Because in these surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the nations in the past, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the torment of the grave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the punishment of the hereafter. Because these people were the people of akhirah, they had so much fikr, concern and worry for their hereafter, that what will happen to me? Mind you, this is Sayyidul Mursaleen. He's the leader of all the prophets alayhim salatu wassalam. Despite that, the fikr of hereafter, the concern of the hereafter was such that his hair on his body is getting white due to reading Quran, due to reading these verses of the Quran. We're in the qiyamah, we're in qabr, we're in the punishment and the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. شَيَّبَتْنِي هُودٌ وَأَخَوَاتُهَا. So this person, he said to this doctor, سَأَلْتُ مِنَ الْأَطِبَّاءِ خَبِيرًا ذَاتَ يَوْمٍ مِمَّ شَيْبِ. He said to me, فَقَالَ بَلْغَمُ. He said, it's due to phlegm. And I said to him, وَقَدْ قُلْتُ لَهُ عَلَى غَيْرِ احْتِشَامٍ لَقَدْ اخْتَأْتَ. I said to him that with all due respect, I think you have erred and you made a mistake in your answer, because your prescription is not in line with what I'm thinking at this moment in time. You said balgham, it's not balgham, balghamu. He said instead it's anxiety, worry and depression. This is why my hair is getting white. And like I mentioned, that many Muslims are suffering from this. The concern we should have is not for this dunya, my brothers. It should be for the hereafter. Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great commentator on Sahih al-Bukhari, he has mentioned one story. An amazing story. When I read this, I was blown out. That a person, he went to sleep at night with complete black hair on his body. When he woke up, everything was white. People asked him, what happened? In one night, all the hair on your body became white? He said, yes, yesterday night I went to sleep and I saw a few scenes of Jahannam in my dream. Because of that, every single hair on my body became white. When people have such concern for the hereafter, my brothers, then this dunya, this world, and the calamities and the difficulties of this world doesn't mean anything to them. When your heart is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentions that if you are looking for peace of mind and tranquility of the heart, then hold fast to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah, bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Because it is only due to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart will find peace. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made hasr. The people who are aware of the Arabic language, they can understand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has restricted the contentment of the heart only in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. And this encompasses everything which is related to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you practice deen, if you connect yourself with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you connect yourself with the masjid, if you connect yourself with the salah, if you connect yourself with the book of Allah, and you become Allah's, Allah will become yours. Man kana lillahi kana Allahu lahu. And their hearts become such. That doesn't mean that such people, pious people, will not go through any difficulty and calamity in their lives. They will go through difficulty and calamity. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will secure them, will help them, will protect them. Just as a very pious person from Pakistan, Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, who passed away recently, he used to mention very, very beautifully that, have you seen a watch, waterproof watch? If you were to throw this waterproof watch in the swimming pool, will any water go in this watch? Nothing will happen to this watch if you take it out after half an hour. People who are pious, connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as this watch is surrounded by water, these pious people will also be surrounded with difficulties and calamities of this world. But just as the water did not have any effect on the watch, these calamities will not have any effect on the heart of that pious individual. Allah ta'ala will divinely give them contentment. Ata ibn Abi Rabah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, says that once Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu said to me, that, O Ata, should I not show you a woman who's from the women of Jannah? Ala urika imra'atan min al-Jannah? I said, yes, show me. He said, this Abyssinian woman who's just walking past, she is from the women of Jannah. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Ata ibn Abi Rabah that once I saw this lady coming in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and she complained. I'm trying to explain to you that contentment of the heart only lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only in the remembrance of Allah, only in the following the commands of Allah. This lady comes and she says to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inni usra'u wa atakashaf. She was suffering from epilepsy. She used to faint. So she says that I'm suffering from this illness, and when I do become unconscious, my satr is exposed. Allahu Akbar. Look at the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She didn't complain about the pain and the agony she was going through due to that illness. She's saying, inni usra'u wa atakashaf. The concern she had was that when I become unconscious, my satr is exposed. It opens up. And I feel ashamed that non-mahram and strangers see my satr. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to this lady, that if you wish, I can make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In shi'ti da'awtu Allah an yu'afiyaki. I can supplicate to Allah and Allah will instantly and permanently grant you cure from this illness that you are suffering from. Wa in shi'ti sabarti walakil jannah. And if you wish, you remain patient and persevere, and believe me, Jannah is yours. And what did she choose between these two options? She said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that just make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that my satr doesn't become exposed. The pain and agony, I am ready to persevere and endure patience over it. And alhamdulillah, I'm content with Jannah and paradise over the bounties of this world. When there is contentment of the heart, the halal and the calamities of this dunya will not have any effect. The problem we have nowadays is, my brother, sometimes we over-expect things. This is why we go through depression and anxiety. A person is in college, university. He has so many ambitions in his life. And he thinks that after 3 years, 4 years, when I graduate, I'm going to get a job and my salary will be $70,000, $80,000 per year. They graduate, they don't get the same job, they're going through anxiety, they're going through depression. A person embarks on a journey and he runs his own, he opens his own business. And he thinks that in the first year, I'll be making $100,000. End of the year, when he goes to his accountant, he finds himself that instead of profit, there is loss. He goes into depression, anxiety. Young children, they have so much expectation that when I start going to school, now I'm starting grade 9. When I go to school, everyone should like me. My clothing should be nice. People should comment good about it. My appearance should be good. My performance in my study, my education should be excellent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made everyone different. People have different kinds of memory. People have different minds. People have different brain. Due to the hikmah and wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has not made everyone equal. People are different. You cannot expect something which is beyond your capacity. When you do that and you're not able to achieve that, you go through anxiety and depression. We have to learn to make sabr on calamities and difficulties, because this is part of life. This is the second reason. We're not able to understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of us, we tend to complain. That my son just passed away. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take away my son? Why not the son of my friend? Why not the daughter of my brother? Why did Allah took my father away in such a young age? Why am I going through financial crisis? Why did I lose my job? Why did I fail in my examination? We start to question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers, this world, Allah has made both things. There are blessings, bounties, and there are calamities. If there were only calamities in this world, and you see nothing positive in your life, then this life of the world will become Jahannam for you. And if there is nothing but benefit, nothing but positive aspects in your worldly life, since the time you were born until you passed away, then this world will not remain a world, this world will become Jannah for you. Allah has placed both things here. There are good things, there are bad things. Jannah, there will be no difficulty. Jahannam, there will be no good conditions. And these two things are dependent on your worldly life. If you are going through good times, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you are going through bad and rough patches, make sabr and persevere. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think about the causes. Is it not due to your sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afflicted you? How dare we complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we ever pondered over our lives? Day and night, the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we commit, my brothers. I'm sure majority of the people sitting here will agree with me that each and every single organ of our body is drowned in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we turn around and complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that why did Allah make me go through these difficulties? If Allah does insaf and justice, we should not have any organ left on our body. Allah has given us these eyes to please Him, to do good actions, to carry out the good deeds. Are we using it in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? These hands, they're blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we using it only in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tongue, your faculty of hearing things, things you can smell, your feet, blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah does justice and insaf, then none of these organs should remain on your body. This is an ihsan and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah hasn't taken away any body part from our body. And He has been kind to us, that, oh my servant, despite you being continuously disobeying me and carrying out sin and vices, enjoy my blessings and one day turn to me and I'm standing here with my hands open and I will forgive you in 1 second. So the message of today is, the solution to depression is not to commit suicide, is not to complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ponder over your life, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your life should be in accordance to the commands of Allah and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, you should have dhikr in your life. Riwayah of Bayhaqi, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, is a cure to 99 ailments, and the least of which is depression. Continue reading لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله, other adhkar, tilawat of the Quran, recitation of the Quran, practice upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah take you out from the from this phase of depression and anxiety, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you joy, happiness in this world, also contentment of the heart in this world, and also in your grave, and also in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.